Oh my.
Recording in progress. You do this every time.
I know.
It happens every time. There's never a time we don't start a podcast like this.
Oh my gosh.
It starts off with a hit. Everyone who listens to us is like, great. So it's all finagled at first. Cue the intro song.
It's time. Clock out with Talentless starts now.
All right. First of all, I want to thank our listeners for tuning in for this new series we call Clock Out. Clock Out is the version of Talentless, where we talk to legends, HR influencers, HR tech, all the people making the moves for you guys out there about their journey and their stories. And we're super excited to have today Shannon Ogborn, who comes from Ashby. I mean, if you don't know Ashby, I don't know what you're doing in this world. So we're so excited to see you and have you here. Shannon, I want you first to tell me a little bit about your journey and what has your journey been from before Ashby and now with Ashby. Can you give me a little bit of guidance there?
Yeah, absolutely. I sometimes like to joke that it all started on a cold January night in the early 90s. because I do think that there's some interesting, like, innate personality traits that I've had since birth that just couldn't possibly be replicated by nurture. But for the purpose of time, I will fast forward to the end of college, because that's when I feel like things really started to take shape. I had recently just given up on my childhood dream of becoming a dentist, specifically orthodontist. I took all the prereqs, I did all the things, and I was like, you know what? I don't know if I want to do that. And I felt super lost. I felt like I let a lot of people down, because I had been saying, like, this is my dream since I was like 8 years old. And I just felt like a piece. I was grieving a loss that I thought was going to come to fruition. And at the time, my then boyfriend, now husband, we had made lists. He graduated a year before me of where we would want to live. And there were two mutual cities. One was San Francisco and one was Denver. We ended up moving to San Francisco because that's where he found a job. And I applied to all kinds of roles: sales, marketing, HR, recruiting. I kid you not, the only callbacks that I got were for recruiting coordinator jobs. I didn't get a single interview for another job. And I sort of took that as an initial sign to the universe to jump in. And I wouldn't call myself a religious person. I would call myself a more of a spiritual person. And I just said, you know what, there's some push and pull happening here, that this is where I was originally intended to be. And that's when I accepted my first job at StumbleUpon. Some of the millennial folks who went through college with StumbleUpon on their, you know, stumbling on their browsers might remember that. And I took that job.
I have to stop you right now. I'm going to stop you right now, because I want to know why, from a kid, you wanted to be a dentist. Like, what is happening there in your head as a little kid that you're like, I want to be in people's mouths? Like, how did that happen?
That's exciting, though. Like, I've never had the passion, but, like, what brought you the passion, and then what made it change?
Yeah.
It's a great question. I love teeth. I actually think teeth are, like, a big identity. I don't know. It's just, like, this weird thing. Like, I love teeth, and I think people's teeth show a lot of character about them, and I really love that. But that, in the best way possible, it's like everyone is so unique. I just find it to be an interesting thing. The other thing is, I had a dentist / orthodontist. He was both. In some states he can be, in some states he can't. Believe me, I did my research on that. And he was just so amazing. I just admired him so much. And the thing that I admired the most about him is that he worked with a lot of kids with disabilities. He was a pediatric dentist orthodontist, and he worked with a lot of kids with disabilities. And I just saw the way that he navigated that, the relief that it provided to families that they were getting someone who really cared about their kid and was taking every step to make them comfortable. Kids who would normally do really poorly in those settings. Obviously, it's already overwhelming. Like, it's not particularly you know, painless in some cases. And so I just really admired him. And that's kind of the reason behind.
I mean, we talk about leadership, and we talked about mentors and how we get into things, and we like kind of have that guiding course. Someone is usually in the background saying, this is a cool thing to do. I'm super excited that I just found that out about you. And by the way, it's going to be on every social post that you love teeth saying. But I would love to hear about, and I actually asked the right question, that connection between how you got to stumble upon to like Ashby, mm-hmm. you know, mania. Like, how has that happened for you?
Yeah, when I first got to stumble upon, I was on a contract role. I accepted the job, no negotiation. I was just like, yeah, I got a job out of college. 2 weeks after I graduated, I got a job. Everyone was like, oh my God, you got a job 2 weeks after you graduated? I was stoked as hell. I just was success. Like, let's go. Yeah. Like, I'm moving to San Francisco. And so I packed up my stuff. I moved out there. But ultimately, they couldn't hire me on full as an FTE. They didn't have the capacity or headcount. And so they really supported me a ton in getting to my next step, which is when I moved to be the first recruiting team member at Hired, which again, RIP. And I'm like, I really hope this isn't an indication of me. one of the companies I then
I bring companies down.
We closed the shop.
Yeah. It was definitely all on me. But that role at Hire taught me a lot of the realities of scaling a team solo. I, in about like 9 months or so, scaled the team from 60 to 120 as the only recruiting person there. And I was doing everything. I was technically a recruiting coordinator, but did I change my role on LinkedIn to recruiting ops coordinator? Hell yeah, I did.
Yes, you did.
I did all the things. I did the analysis work. I did the scheduling. I did all of the strategic work. I did all of the things. And I think I already have grit as just an innate personality trait. But that role, just that had me in the weeds. I was working probably 60 hours a week. Yeah. It was honestly really tough. But eventually, we wanted to get to Denver. And so we had this great opportunity where Hired was opening the Denver market. And so I eventually moved to Denver to open that market as a talent advocate. So on the platform, there was the sales side who worked with the companies, and then there's a talent advocate who worked with the candidates. And a talent advocate was, you could more or less consider sort of like a job search coach, but within the platform. So you were only working with candidates in that platform.
Gotcha.
And that's where I really discovered how much I love the community facing side of recruiting. One, I want to help people. That's what I've always wanted to do. Even if you think back to the dentistry and the orthodontia, it's like, I just wanted to help people. And I think there's a lot of ways that can come to life. But I had a lot of speaking opportunities. I was able to meet companies in person. And that really started to drive that part of it. And then from there, my path wasn't super linear. I experienced multiple layoffs, short stints at startups. And after I felt like I was going to get laid off for the second time, I went to my mom and I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, I just feel like I'm spinning my wheels here. And we're not talking about the macro environment issues that a lot of people are having now.
Yeah.
This is just general like startup reorg and failure. And it happens. And she was like, well, you should probably join a bigger, more stable company. And wouldn't you know it, I landed at one of, at the time, the biggest and most stable companies you could work for at Google as a recruiter.
Of course you did.
Yeah. It's like it could have gone sideways in so many directions. But again, the universal push and pull, it worked out. And I landed there initially as a recruiter for software engineers in Seattle. I was working out of our Boulder office. And shortly after that, an opportunity came up for the diversity staffing team, hiring specifically for women in tech. I got a lot of pushback trying to get to that team because I hadn't been there a year, and you know, you're supposed to be there a year. And I'm like, well, I'll get all the approvals. I'll do it all on my own. They're like, well, no one's going to approve of that. And I'm like, well, I'm going to ask and we'll see what happens. Right. And at the time it was such a big initiative that they were moving to, they were willing to make those concessions and shifts that were not typical for a company like Google with policies in place. And I was really proud of the work that I did on the diversity staffing team there. I hired a ton of women in software engineering roles, and I was doing trainings, and I really felt like I was changing Google for the better. But I also learned across time and in multiple different roles that that large company structure didn't really suit me. And after COVID and becoming a parent, I realized that I really wanted to work on something that felt impactful and multidimensional again. I was sort of really tight into this niche, and it's like, if you hire, you hit your hiring goal, we'll hire more. And I was like, but I want to be doing something more. And so that's actually when I found Ashby, first as a rec ops consultant in a customer facing role, and then moving into my current role leading the community and recruiting advisory for North America. It's the happiest I've ever been in my career. I get to use every single thing that I've learned over time about talent while also leaning into what I naturally love, which is helping people and being a bridge and a connection point. And I do a lot of things at Ashby, but I've worn many hats, but that's what I love about it. And that's what I was missing in that big corporate structure. Everyone has different passions and phases of their career. Mm-hmm. When I was at Google, it was the perfect phase for my career to be where I was.
Right.
And now this is a perfect place to be where I am. And so it's all in and that push and pull timing. Yeah.
Shanna, it's so funny because I have a very nonlinear path. If you look at my like LinkedIn, you're like, what is this lady doing? And I think about people that have that kind of nonlinear, but it seems like you ended up where you were supposed to be at the time for the phase that you were doing. And I believe in that. I believe that people have phases in their career and they end up where they're supposed to be at. As my wife always says, trust the universe. And I believe that too. Trust the universe. They're going to put you in the right seat, right? So, but as you've gone through that journey, must be things that you think about and you're like, wait, I shouldn't have done that or I should do. So what would you like to talk to our audience about? What would you warn them about as they start their journey?
For sure. I think the first thing is that non-linear doesn't mean nonsensical. Mm-hmm. So just because my career journey hasn't been linear doesn't mean I'm confused. I'm not confused. I'm actually very sure. I'm very sure that I want to help people. And I'm very sure about the tangential pieces, the through lines that I can pull through when I'm storytelling about my own career. It's not random. It's very thoughtful. And so not only do I want people to understand that in their career, but I also want hiring managers to understand that. Like, if you're confused about someone's career journey, ask them about it, right? Like, I know how to storytell in my own career journey, and I feel very passionately about helping people find their through line to tell the story. Being a generalist means that it's harder to tell your career through line and story, and I think that's a big learning for me. There's been some times where I flubbed that, and people are like, well, now I'm confused. Like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, listen, I feel pretty sure that I can do anything. I can't do everything at the same time, but I feel pretty damn sure that I can do anything that you put in front of me. And that's kind of the storytelling there.
Love it.
Other thing, and I think the most important thing I tell others is this: you are always going to be your best advocate. Mm-hmm. Companies make decisions for business reasons, not oftentimes personal ones, although sometimes it becomes that if it's like a manager making a personal decision, you know, but like companies, businesses, they don't make personal choices. They make business choices. And you can't expect anyone else to care more about your career than you do. Mm-hmm. And there's this sort of authenticity that comes with this. Like, Ashley, I know you and I have talked about this. I've been told at almost every job that I was too direct or maybe even too caring. Like, when people are like, I'm like, I don't understand the, when I was at Hired, for example, I'm like, I don't understand the promotion process. It seems really random. It seems like if we're going based off of performance, this person should have been promoted, but this person was promoted. I'm just trying to understand and also advocate for other people. And they're like, just don't care that much about what's going on around you. And I'm like, I think the sentiment was out of care. And I get that. It's a lot to take on as a highly sensitive, emotional person. But like I've been told so many times that I need to soften how I show up. And some of that I've taken, right? Like, there's a certain reality
to that.
But for a long time, I saw those things as flaws. And I've gotten this since, I'm not even kidding, this is the back to early 90s January.
I was going to say, here we go. Cold January day. Night.
Like, but it's true. Like, this has been something for me for my entire life.
Yeah.
As early as kindergarten. And, you know, for a long time, I saw those as flaws. I was very insecure about it. I was very anxious about it. But now I recognize that is exactly those are exactly the traits that have made me successful. Feedback is useful. And I think that we should always try to ingest that in the best way that we can. But don't let anyone dim what makes you shine. The reason why I have the network that I have today, and the reason, like, for example, I was introduced to our CEO at Ashby by someone I worked with at Hired, because I called him and I was talking to him about the company he had just left, and he was like, no, it's a great company. And I was like, great. He's like, where else are you interviewing? I tell him I'm interviewing at a competitor of Ashby, and he's like, have you heard of Ashby? I'm like, no, dude, like, Google uses so many, and only internal tools, basically. Like, my finger's not on the pulse on this at all.
Right.
And at the time, Ashby didn't even have a public-facing website.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm introducing you to the CEO. For what job? I don't know. Okay.
That's a startup.
There you go.
But he knew my hustle, he knew my grind, and he knew
you, right?
Right, and he cared about me, and I cared about him. If you genuinely care about people, so all of these things, yes, there's some feedback that's important to take just for your own success and in the confines of society as it exists today. But the being too caring or helping too many people or focusing on this and that, that is what makes me shine, and that is what has carried me through my career and has made me successful in this job and every single other job that I've had.
I love that, Shannon. And, you know, I've always heard the you're too direct. I think Ashley's probably heard that a million times as well. It's like, you're too in the face, you're too whatever. And as women, I think we definitely hear that more than men do. I refuse to dim my light for anybody, so it gets me in trouble, but it also gets me in really good places. So I really appreciate that.
But you know what you're going to get. Like, I think it's important I think it's really important that you know yourself. And I would challenge people to know themselves. There's also an additional layer that I would love to footnote here, which is as a white woman, I have an easier time being my authentic self than a woman of color, particularly Black women, especially in the directness area. And if you start adding on non-dominant identities to that, that only increases in a way that is a barrier for people to be their authentic self and show up as their self. So I do want to acknowledge that, and I wish that that wasn't the case. But even being a woman, for example, at a former company, I was told I was too aggressive when the most aggressive person on our team, by his own admission, by the way, was like, they loved it about him. And so it's one of those things that's the type of things that I was questioning and getting pushback on. It's like, just worry about yourself. I'm like, can't do that.
Can't do that. Brain. Not doing it. We got to move to the next question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Wait.
I am so sorry, Ashley King.
Yeah.
See how she yells at me on this?
See how I'm direct? Do y'all like that? Okay.
It's too much, Shannon, for me.
It is really too much. It was a lot. I pulled a lot.
It was so many.
Here's the one thing that I will say to people listening on the phone, because I too have obviously been told I'm direct. To me, that's a love language. Like, direct, like, that's my type of how you tell me you love me. Like, is my fly down? Like, I don't want you beating around the bush. Like, tell me the truth. Like, I want to know. That's care to me. But the one thing that I will say, and the way that I've judged people who have been like, hey, girl, hush your mouth and stop talking, is whenever I am crystal clear, whenever I am very to the point and it benefits you, are you rooting me on, or are you only telling me to hush whenever it doesn't benefit you? And that has honestly been a clarity key, because there are some people who will tell you to dim your shine and it's just because it's not benefiting them. Because when it does, they're like hype man. They're like, yeah, girl, tell them everything, blah, blah, blah. And it's because we're just a conduit to them. Yeah. So, and that's how we
I have fallen on the sword for my team members against or in collaboration, attempted partnership with leadership a million times, especially at Google and Hired. And I think generally my teammates really appreciated that. But I'm like, you know what? I'm going to already go to bat for myself, and I'm going to put myself out there, and I'm going to put my ass on the line. For whatever reason, you don't feel confident or comfortable doing that. You know what? because I think it's the right thing to do and I want to be a helper, I'll put my ass on the line for all of us. Fuck it, I'm already doing
yeah.
it. You know,
yeah.
like, and I think that's why people feel connected to me because they
I was
like,
say they love
back.
You. Yeah,
yeah, you know,
right?
And I do, I do.
Yeah. Yeah. Who doesn't yeah. want someone who has their back, right? Like, absolutely. I mean, I need more people in my corner than I can count, right? So someone like you, I would love, you know, you are in my corner, but like, you know, you would, I would, if I was a person seeking out that kind of thing and connection and all of that, you would be a person I gravitated to, right? It's why Ashley and I are together, right? Like, you know, it's totally about how we find connection and what is going to, we're going to support each other. And that's super important. So I have to ask this question. It's the most horrible recruiter question that we always ask. What and where do you think your career journey will take you in the next 5 years? I asked it right.
It's a loaded question for sure. And a little bit torturous, but honestly, I don't know exactly what titles or roles will even exist in 5 years.
Right.
What, and the reason for that, obviously, technology changes so fast, company priorities change fast. Who knows what our company priorities are going to be and who fits in where to that? And who knows what companies will be about in 10 years? There's so much unknown. And as a person with both ADHD and anxiety, it's really hard for me to not look far into the future. It's yeah. like, it keeps me up at night sometimes. So I try to focus on what I do know, which is that helping people is my through line and that will never change. That is, yeah. that is the story. That is my story. And I am sticking to it.
Yes, baby.
It's a good story.
I've learned to balance this natural tendency to look far ahead and trying to live in the moment. It's really hard. It's a really hard mindfulness exercise.
Yeah.
And it's not really about being happy with what you have. I think everyone's trying to progress forward, but yeah. I want to at least know what the skills are to get to the very next stage. And yeah. so that's why I try to focus on. And so right now I'm focusing on doing really meaningful work. I want to keep evolving while staying true to my core values, helping others, building community, and creating impact. I feel like I yeah. create way more impact at startups than I did at a company like Google, even though technically I was making a bigger impact because if I hire someone to Google Ads or if I hire someone to Google Maps with a billion users, well, that's a billion freaking users you're impacting,
right.
but you don't feel that fulfillment. And so I'm trying to define more about what creating impact means to me. And if I'm still doing all of those things 5 years from now and I've stayed firm on my core values, I'll consider myself successful.
That's awesome, Shannon. Yeah. Ashley, I'm sorry.
No. Forgiven. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, I'm totally just kidding. No, all I was going to say, and this is kind of even a hit back on what you said earlier, is you can tell that you're already doing your through line and that you're taking space in that arena in the best way because you are here on a podcast and you say yeah. things like, I have XYZ, but let me tell you about the intersectionalities yeah. that experience it worse. And that is something that I think is key to yeah. us being any form of conduit in community, is to say, I appreciate that I got your attention, but I need to take you over here because that's where it needs to be most, because yeah. that's the best way we can use this bodysuit. That's the best way we can use this piece of the puzzle, this whatever we've been given, is to actually say, great, glad you're here. God, I got you here. But now that we have community, let's go where it's needed most. And those are the best leaders. Those yeah. are the individuals that will make change beyond just their role title. And so I will say, like, if that's your goal, if that's the bag you're going towards, like, girl, you're one step on the way each way, because that's what it takes. And for me yeah. as a leader, that's also what I look for as well, because we employ all types of people, right? And so it's just, you're spot on. At any business, could you work? Because you already yeah. have the foundation. So
amazing asset to any organization. I truly agree. This is the time of this podcast where you get to hype yourself. Where could people find you? How can they connect with you? Talk to us, Shannon.
I know you wanted me to keep this brief, but I have to add one more thing to what Ashley said. And then
sorry.
We want you in it.
Yes, go for it.
We'll get a bunch of yappers on a podcast and then expect it to be brief. It's funny that you brought that up, Ashley. I think conscientiousness is such a big part of someone's success moving forward, especially as human skills actually start to supersede technical skills, because technology is going to allow us to do some things very quickly and easily and efficiently that we would never have been able to do before, in unless you had a certain skill set. So my hot take on this all is, especially people who can work multi-generationally will be the most successful. Everyone's always talking about like, well, you ruin this and you ruin that and you're making this up and you're messing this up. It's like the people who can, and there's a lot of layers to that terms of identity, but the one that I think about most is multi-generational. Can you work with someone that is from the boomer generation? Can you work with a millennial? Can you work with Gen Z? Can you work beyond that? The people who can bridge those gaps across are going to be the most successful.
I totally
That is
agree.
My hot take, and I feel confident in it.
No, and that's not even a hot take. To me, that is like how we should be, because there's more people in the workforce right now. If you can't figure out like how to do this thing that looks like, and you know, ageism is one of my biggest things, because I am the oldest person in the room most of the time. She's 12. I'm 50. Saying I'm in the Gen X. I'm like the end. Like I'm 50. Like I'm about to turn 51. Like
it's true though. Ageism is definitely rampant, especially in tech. And even there's also people who are like, if I'm not in my 50s, I feel like they're counting me out. And obviously that's no way to go about things. So people who can work across all identities.
Yes,
Ashley was talking
identities,
about,
diversity, like we could just
particularly across generations.
Yes,
if you can explain something in the way someone needs to be explained in one generation at the top end and the bottom end.
Yes,
chef's kiss.
Chef's kiss.
It's a translation skill, and I will say at DEI Labs, Gentelligence is probably one of the most requested classes, just because we are in a weird. We have five different generations in the workforce right now, and
it's
not
huge.
Always in that.
It's huge. Well, Shannon, do her hype session. Shannon, where can people find you and connect with you?
Yes, I live, sleep, and breathe on LinkedIn. It's so sad that I doom scroll on LinkedIn. Like, what world are we in? You can find me on LinkedIn, Shannon Ogborn. I try to respond to as many DMs as I can. I also try to do as many free resume reviews as I can every year. One, it kind of keeps me in the game, but also people need help, including recruiters, y'all. If you,
I was about to say, can you review mine? Because mine sucks.
Like, if someone is in talent and recruiting, they, like, send me your resume, because people don't, they think that they're an expert, and they are experts, and they don't want to lean on people for help where they think they should be an expert.
Yeah,
everyone needs help sometimes. So I just want to put that out there. And otherwise, you can listen to the podcast I host, Offer Accepted Podcast, by Ashby. Ashley has been a guest. It's all about unlocking the black box of talent, getting like really practical and tactical into influencing different programs and outcomes in your organization. So would love for folks to listen to that. And then you can also follow Ashby on LinkedIn, the company that I work for. I do a lot of stuff there as well.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if you're in this space and you're not following Ashby, I again will say, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know why you're not listening to Shannon on Offer Accepted. Just a great podcast. And obviously Ashley has been on it as well. And just some real great information that goes through there. And I love to see it. So I want to thank you so much for being part of this crazy thing we call the Talentless Podcast. And Shannon, we're going to have you back.
Yeah.
I think that we have a lot of deep dives to do with you. But thank you for being part of this and launching our Clock Out series, which we will hear from more talent legends and HR influencers going forward. Thank you so much for listening. And goodbye. Bye.
Thank you.